A reading from 2 Peter, the first chapter. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. O Lord, have mercy on us. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, and whose sin is put away. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. In the name of Jesus, amen. Encounters with old foes or friends, and the resurrection of personal histories in shared experiences can either be a bane or blessing, delight or fright. On the one hand, it's embarrassing to say this out loud because of my sin and faltering weaknesses and incapacity to reconcile. I can think of people that I just as soon avoid. Unresolved hurts and pains, too hard, too uncomfortable. I'm still praying for that opportune moment when with them there would be forgiveness and peace. On the other hand, there are those that I long to see, just to have the chance to pick up the conversation again and talk. They would remind me of shared joys and blessings, and there would come a lifting of the spirit and a delightful encouragement to look forward. Hey, Kevin, wake up. Let me remind you of what happened there. Look at what happened. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. St. Peter is doing a bit of that for us this morning. He raises a question. Did you forget? It's almost unthinkable, but did you forget that you were cleansed from your former sins? He is not too far from his colleague in the apostolic office. St. Paul to the church at Corinth, you were washed, you were sanctified. And to the Romans, how can we who died to sin still live in it? Sin will have no dominion over you. And yet the truth is, you do forget. You live in it. Sin, that is. You let it dominate and perpetuate until it has become the new normal. It infects your rotting flesh, punctures your mind, and comes out of your mouth reeking of death. It embarrasses you in public. You don't want others to know, and so you avoid them. Sin isolates you from those you love, and most especially, it isolates you from God. It presses on into your life and sucks away your joy, your energy, your ability to breathe. Sin amplifies itself until you can no longer hear yourself think or allow yourself to pray. It crowds out virtue and draws down a heavy blackout curtain, blocking even the most fleeting, hopeful view of the future. Sin leaves you curved in on yourself, gazing at your navel in nearsighted self-centeredness, blind, really, to the depth and breadth of your problem. Sin gives rise to stupid thinking, and stupid thinking opens the door to fatalities. Why should I not just give in, give up, and keep on sinning? It won't make any difference. Did you forget? Says Peter. You've been cleansed of your former sins. You're clothed with Christ. Dear lambs of God, on your Lententide journey and onward through life in this world, strive, make every effort to keep yourself on the path that on which you belong, to make manifest those markers that show forth your faith, from virtue to knowledge to self-control to steadfastness to godliness to brotherly affection to love. And in so doing, you will never, ever stumble. That is, you will not fall out of God's grace, or be driven from God's family, or be lost eternally. But be clear in your thinking about his gift. Your putting off of sin is not an advance confirmation to God that you deserve his gift. He doesn't need such a confirmation. His gift is already yours. It's been delivered. Your living a life of holiness is a confirmation to you and an encouragement to your neighbors in the household of faith. He has supplied you with all things needed in order to live this godly life. You have grace and peace and multiplying abundance come from knowing God in your Lord Jesus. From justification springs forth sanctification. You can't have one without the other. Sin is put away in the knowledge that you've been declared righteous for the sake of Jesus' shed blood. Now, in no way do I mean this as a compliment to Joel Osteen. But you do lead a purpose-driven life now. Your purpose is to live in a manner that affirms your election from eternity, for he chose you from before the foundation of the world. Your purpose is to affirm the calling to which you have been called at the baptismal font. Your purpose is to prepare for your entry into his eternal kingdom. Your purpose is to live according to that promise in the faith-born certainty of hope that longs for, rightly anticipates life with God in paradise forever, and to share that promise with others. And as you grow in that blessed knowledge, more and more you realize the sheer magnitude of the gift received, the more you partake of his divine nature. And wait, what second is that? What is that divine nature? Luther understood it in this way. It is eternal truth, righteousness, wisdom, everlasting life, peace, joy, happiness, and whatever can be called good. Now he who becomes a partaker of the divine nature receives all this so that he lives eternally and has everlasting peace, joy, and happiness, and is pure, clean, righteous, and almighty against the devil, sin, and death. For all and whatever Peter speaks of in this text, its beginning and end is Jesus. When we had long forgotten what we were created to be, God, in the depths of our crushing poverty of spirit and eternal death of the body, God, in the sending of his Son, remembered his children in the most profound manner. And in the giving of his Son into the hands of sinful men unto death upon a cross, he brought about the restoration of a corrupted creation and raised up your fallen nature. Did you forget? He has remembered you. And this, then, is good news for rejoicing. He remembers your sins no more. In the name of Jesus, amen.